like it would, the only time it'd be used is if one of us was already up. It'd be like, in lieu of holding him in the middle of the night, I would try and put him in the bassinet, because otherwise he's not going to the bassinet because he refuses.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Welcome to Game of Nodes, the weekly podcast reviewing bassinets for tired dads.
Just whatever works.
I was searching, like the intro, I think, is exactly 13 seconds, right? And I was like, what rhymes with nodes? And there's a pun on baby sleeping arrangements. I'll tell you what, that is the shortest 13 seconds I've ever experienced in my life. I was like, come on, you're supposed to be good with words. Just had absolutely nothing. Does it say, like, you know, I tried to do one of those, like, I think about a year ago, I opened with a very convincing thing on that we were a historical wargaming podcast. And then I got YouTube recommended an actual podcast with the name that I had made up on the spot in the flow. And I was like, that's actually a popular, I think it's like a World War II or historicals one. I didn't watch it because I'm not into that. But I was like, ah, see, I can do names. It's just not a, well, even under pressure. But this time, how are we doing, lads?
Fantastically.
Fantastic. Look at Clint Boge over there.
Hey.
One of us was complaining about prices just a few minutes ago because things have gone down over the last half hour.
Oh, it's a fucking bloodbath out there.
Yeah, what the fuck is? Because I moved some tokens to Kraken, which therefore means that everything takes a fucking shit for the next 3 days.
You fucking kidding me? You have to do that now?
Everything just shit the bed.
Last hour. The stonks and bonds market is fucking bleeding.
Yeah.
It tends to happen at Christmas time, man. Like just before the Christmas break.
It does.
Like, takes a giant dump. Everyone fucking rebalancing their positions before they fucking go and have a happy time. They just cry for a few days and then they're like, yeah, time for the beach.
This is a badass looking bassinet, I gotta say.
I haven't looked since the end of the working day here, but it looks like, yeah, we're wrecked. I think we're back to McDonald's, lads.
No, it's still, I mean, everything is still pretty.
Now we're about to
pretty reasonable.
It's pretty
for the most part.
Pretty reasonable.
It's been far worse than this, but
it's been far worse.
But Cosmos backed under $8, Aptos at 12, Chainlink at 25.5, which is like still doing really well. It's crazy. DYDX was actually over $2 for a bit there, but now it's back down to 175.
Tough time.
It's always a good. That's always DYDX. DYDX is actually a pretty decent. Tracks the market pretty well, actually.
In the chat.
Interestingly enough.
Rama, all your alts are fucked.
All your alts are fucked.
BTC still six figures.
It's basically what it is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do you know, this is very on brand for me as well to rock up and then be told that I'm wrecked and be like,
Like, oh, am I?
Am I? Oh, yeah, I guess I am because I haven't checked this shit in like 2 hours.
You're only paper wrecked. Paper wrecked doesn't matter.
But it's like the Juno thing when Juno bounced and I found out that we were paper Lambo again. And then it turned out that, you know, because of unstaking periods, there was no way we could do anything about any of the actual tokens we have. So it was like, oh, well, that's cool for everybody else. We made a couple. We had some. We hadn't claimed rewards in over a year. So that turned out to be a sensible thing to do.
Jacket says, is my audio okay? Is it up higher?
You're a little bit quiet compared to usual.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Let me jack it up. How about now? just push it.
Yeah. Sounds crisp now.
Nice. So what's going on?
We need to decide on some categories for the Game of Nodes end of year award show, which
it's a good topic.
So this is the Christmas episode to regular viewers and listeners. Game of Nodes inconveniently falls on Christmas Day and on New Year's Eve, depending on your time zone, I believe. So we're going to take an unprecedented 2 weeks off.
That's amazing.
That we've we held on through the bear without taking 2 weeks off. So this is, you know, this is a sign that we're back, baby. It has to be. We're just chill enough to take so, 2 weeks so off. Like, do you know what it actually is a sign of? It's actually a sign of it's like still 2 months before conference season. All the autumn launches have happened. And there is like, other than looking at the candles, which is literally what Usurper is doing right now, there mm-hmm. is to be done for about, what are we, 8 weeks out from the first big conference in the spring? Eight weeks now, right?
I don't even know. What's first?
Denver, no?
That's
in March,
that's like
right?
First week of March, first something like that? March, end of February, yeah. Somewhere in there?
Yeah, February is a short month, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably, you're right, it's probably 10 weeks from now, but, which is crazy.
So, like, that's like the first, if anything that wasn't already announced will be announced then. And then we know whether we're getting wrecked next year or not, or whether we're getting rich.
You're right.
There's nothing between the two, obviously.
I think it's always is right. Either.
It's always wrecked or rich. The it's new always. Game show for Game of Notes.
I'm pretty interested to see what happens with crypto over the next 2 years. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting couple of years, more so than the last two or three, just in terms of stupid regulation changes here in the US that drive either positive or negative, which is good. Cause we always said like uncertainty is worse than any sort of certainty. So having some certainty on some things I think would go a long way. I do think that like even BTC usage in state use here and other types of things, maybe in federal, will drive some other types of like, will drive some change and we might see some faster use cases. So I'm actually a bit excited to see at least there's going to be some, I think there'll be some short-term decisions that happen. Now we'll see if that is, if those decisions over the long term actually are positive or negative, but at least we'll see something happen. So.
Yeah. My guess is that we're going to be absolutely wiped out in, because fiscal drag's what, 18 months? So
yeah,
if your man goes and does all the protectionism that he's promised, we're going to be looking at, I guess, like policies come into force probably in the summer. That takes us to 6 months. So about this time, 2 years' time, we're going to be fully wrecked because inflation will have kicked in. And we're already at like real felt inflation of like what, 8% or something, depending on the measure you use. So like there ain't going to be a lot of, it's not going to be like spuds in the shopping basket, 4-pack of Budweiser Light, Bitcoin in 2 years' time. Nah.
Bitcoin.
I did what Americans, you can tell that I have absolutely no idea of what an American would put in their shopping basket, despite having visited America over 10 times, by the fact that my idea of an American shopping basket is one potato, 4 Bud Light, and that's it.
Ammo.
It's like
ammo.
Ammunition, tomahawk steak, some sort of processed potato that you can deep fry.
Yeah.
To be fair, actually, you're right. Potato chips. If I chip that potato...
Chips. Ain't no one in the States buying a fucking actual potato. They don't know how to cook
it. You could probably make.
Or like the pre-made mashed potatoes where you just like
add water in there and just like mix them up.
Slide out of the plastic.
Just dump a stick, no one doing dump that, dump a stick man. Of butter if in anyone's, there. If anyone's getting pre-made taters, then it's fucking, it's coming through Uber Eats.
Yeah, yep, it's pretty much the basket true. Though. Yeah.
But yeah, even the stonks market hosed. They're fucking my American holdings overnight smashed.
You
Amazon right? down 4%. Yeah,
Amazon's down 4%.
Totaled. Yeah. So I'm expecting it on the open today from the Australian Stock Exchange. It's also going to get fucking wrecked. But you know, everything's temporary.
Everything's temporary. What? Why is
hodl-ul, hodl-ul, as they say.
Why is Amazon down? I heard actually shopping was pretty good.
Everything's down, man. The whole stonk market's fucked.
Mm.
Everything's down 4%.
Well, at least
everyone's having the
same problem. Blood day. Hmm?
Well, at least everyone's having the same problem we are, right?
Everything down 4% is one thing, but
yeah,
some like So I was interested.
Everything down 4% is one thing, but what about my chain link?
What do you think of my
chain link? About my shit coins?
Like, what's that? Oh, fuck, what's the movie that he's obsessed with in Red Dwarf, the old American movie? It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, It's a Wonderful Life, but wrecked by crypto. There you go. That's my movie pitch. But then how would it end? What would be the end? Because the ending scene in the original, right? That's the one where it ends with like the debt. Sorry, spoiler alert for a film that's like 80,000 years old. That's the one where it ends with like the debt forgiveness thing. Because it's like this big cathartic moment. Like what happens in the crypto? They're just like, no, you are wrecked. It's on the ledger. It's on the ledger forever. You're wrecked. You go to the poorhouse.
It's like the shit coins of Christmas past. Like you have to see. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man.
You get to see your life if you sold your shit coins 2 years ago, and then you get to see your life if you waited 2 years and then sold them. That'd be awesome.
Can we put that in the end of the year show?
That'd be amazing.
The best shit coin of Christmas past.
Oh, yeah. Look at my Amazon. You ruining my day here.
I would only watch it if the Muppets are playing. Otherwise, I'm out.
Wait. It's a Wonderful, Wonderful Life or the Christmas or the shit coin of Christmas past?
Either or. Both. If I were benevolent dictator for life, I would demand more Muppet movies. I don't care what movie is, but it will have Muppets.
Have you seen the whichever one it is that has the Kermit did 9/11?
No.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
So did you guys see, I believe I got from my primary news source, X application, the crypto.com have dropped their lawsuit against the SEC after having a little lunchy lunch with the big guy?
No.
Oh, well, that's a thing apparently. I read it on X, so it's probably true.
It's good.
So I mean that's a good signal, right? If obviously they've had a favorable conversation and they've said, "Don't worry, buddy, we'll line your pockets again." Happy days.
It's weird that would come now.
Well, he's just become the president elect, right? So now he's got to go and make all his little
promises,
hustle deals. He's got to go and come good on all his promises.
Yeah.
Before people get upset.
Yep.
So how's everybody's preparation going for the holidays? You out there pruning all your nodes, getting all your monitoring alerts knocked down a bit? really reconsidering what's important.
Raising all my percentages.
Yeah.
Notify me on 2% miss? No, let's make it 5%.
Yeah, I don't want to know unless the hard drive is 110% full.
putting some mainnet chains into the testnet file.
You know, it seems like there's a few chains that are like just getting very close to launching, like right before Christmas. Hopefully they go after Christmas. That'd be a little bit like after the holidays, it'd just be a little bit better.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, this is not the right time to launch anything, right? So you really want better visibility and not competing against other types of things. So I would think most of these teams are going to wait till middle of Q1, not January. January is always a mess too. Nobody pays any attention to January.
100%. Holy shit.
That post-holiday hangover.
Yeah. Yeah, like late January is nice.
Yeah. Like even when we was in the enterprise space, like nobody did shit. 45 days, man. Like starting after Thanksgiving to at least February 15th, it was dead. Nobody did anything. And I think this market is no different than that. Like I think at least like to get some visibility to things and try to get people's time and attention is a little bit tough, but.
I'm holding on to my letters that I have to send to people till like tomorrow afternoon.
What do you mean?
You know, any letters that I need to send to people that need a response?
Just waiting
till like
just
Friday.
Are you still in?
Emails.
Yeah.
They're called emails, not letters.
I was like, what kind
send
of
them on Friday afternoon so that you don't get a response to like concern. Mid-January.
Typing one finger at a time. Grandpa like, Null.
No, man, I write letters with, you know, stationery and shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking no surprise. You call people on the phone, you write letters, you're just fucking trapped in the old times.
Dear blockchain.
Dear blockchain.
Dear blockchain owner.
Dear blockchain owner. Please consider not slashing me over the holidays. That would be the best.
I'm on a fixed income, please.
My validator address. Please take a note. It's A9 capital H lowercase h B.
That would be null on the phone. You know, like there's, you know, there's like YouTube videos of somebody where a scammer calls them up and they pretend to be like infirm and then just like waste the scammer's time. Right. That'd be like null. He'd be like,
I love those guys.
Like, sir, my Valcon's address is
it's 9
Runocon 9 lowercase x 6.
Oh man.
I'm not the oldest man in the room, by the way.
Age is just a number, baby.
It's just a number, baby.
If you're sending letters, though.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, has more like effect. A good old letter.
Are you actually, so you're sending letters? Oh, this is like other jobby jobs type stuff. You're sending letters? Like
I'm emailing a letter, man. Emailing
you're licking envelopes and you're licking envelopes and shit?
Nah, man, I've seen Seinfeld. I don't want to die.
Yeah, one of those.
But you know, it's just a matter of more into my meaning. It's like just getting those important things out last minute so that you don't see your response until mid-January. You know you're not going to have to worry about it. But you did your part.
I did. It's not on me. Yeah. I'm done. All right.
I've done it. actually, Ramam here mentions that there's a strong USD, weirdly. But it is quite. It's been going up against our currency like all year.
Yeah.
Which is good for me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It is good for you.
Yeah. But
all right. I need to take off, folks.
All right.
See you, Shilton.
Bye-bye.
Not so great when I want to go and buy, like, you know, my snowboarding shoes or something.
Out of the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, everything comes out of the U.S., so really paying more for my Slack subscription, fucking hell.
Yeah, paying more for our, all that miscellaneous crappy software that's required to run one of these here validator businesses.
These nodes.
You know, they're not going to run themselves.
Not going to run themselves.
I mean, they did kind of run themselves when they were on Kubernetes, but, you know, unfortunately that costs thousands and thousands per month. And we're not making those. Well, I mean, irrelevant now. Cosmos nodes off.
You're out. 100%. Bam.
You're out.
Yeah. They were old Yeller went out back behind the barn. Weird to think that as a business now, we're technically more of an ETH-centric business than we are a Cosmos-centric business by validators run.
Oh, by number. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, how so?
Because we're running shit in the ETH ecosystem. And
like Aptos? Is Aptos ETH?
No. But we're not running any Cosmos anymore. It's all gone.
Right.
Over here.
No tendermint.
What are you running in ETH?
DVT stuff.
SSV.
Ah, copy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big boys with their big DVT pants on.
Hey.
Getting that unknown.
Remind me whose node was down for like ages. Like,
was that the Big Wolf
blockchain node?
Hey, man, I'm happy to have built a cluster for that hundo and DVT money a month.
Wait, you're making 100? That's wild.
I have speaking aspirations. we're gonna make a hundo. Less tax.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, maybe if the market goes up a bit more. Hey? Oh, well. But, next year, huh? So we're going to do categories for the end of year then.
Yeah.
I guess it's like same as last time. best
chain. I forgot, what did we do last time? I don't remember. Best chain, worst chain.
Best chain, worst chain. Best team.
Worst chain, or do we, I don't think we call it that.
I'm sure we went worst chain, because that's a bit negative. That's a bit negative.
Yeah, we were.
I think we did best chain, best team, best use case.
Yeah. Biggest shit. I remember biggest shit poster.
Biggest shit poster. Yeah. Best shit coin, I think.
Something I can't like even that. Vote in the biggest shit poster because I just block any fuckwits I see now.
I don't go on crypto Twitter because it's just fucking idiots.
We might need help with that because actually I don't even know either.
Yeah.
It seems like it doesn't seem, maybe it's not as bad as what it was. I could be wrong though.
I think spending time dicking around on crypto Twitter shitposting is very much a bull market phenomenon that disappeared in 2022 and has not reappeared.
Oh, you don't think it exists in the deep bear as well?
It exists, but maybe not.
It exists, but like the level of, I don't know, it feels more effort to find funny shit. Like, it's just not fun. Like, bear markets, nothing's as fun, man. That's the problem. Like, if you were like, I can skive off work for 5 minutes and do something, what are you going to do? Go watch some dog shit on YouTube, or are you going to go look on depressing bear market crypto Twitter? Tough call. But that's our life. That's our reality these last 2 years. That's what we've been living. I'm tough. All right, time. So then
What other categories? Is that it?
What else? What else? What else is noteworthy? I mean,
that's enough.
Yeah, we've got a use case. I mean, fucking, if we can work that one out, then we've cracked it, lads.
Most excited for? I don't know. Maybe. That's not really an award, though.
Yeah, we did have. Well, we used to have. What are we excited for? As like a rolling thing we talked.
And
then now it's all become quiet. A bit like the what's the name of the there's a Bomb the Music Industry EP called Adults ! Smart ! Shit Hammered ! And Excited by Nothing. I think that's the state of several years of starry-eyed. This is fine. But hey, that's fine. It's cool. Maybe things will roll back around again.
It will.
I mean, what we really needed was we probably needed Trump to not win, and probably needed to just wait till next summer. But that's also fine. That's fine. It's whatever, man. It's beyond my control. I am a pebble in the stream. Whatever, man. I am Jack's complete lack of surprise, this time around. I don't know. I was like, hey, you know, in a best case scenario, maybe like Russian currency squeeze and stuff, you know, maybe 9 months by next summer, by next campaigning season, they might start running out of steam. We might get like some kind of negotiated settlement. Inflation starts coming down, that'd be cool. Maybe a bit more political stability. And it's like, no. We're just spinning the wacky roulette. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's go. We're just gonna smash up inflation.
We're definitely spinning the roulette.
Oh, I mean,
one thing we didn't talk about last week, which talking about like in the realm of excited for, which I can't believe we didn't speak about, is this Skip acquisition. How do we not bring it up?
Oh yeah, the Interchain Inc.
Did you guys not talk about that?
We didn't.
Even I know about that, and
I knew about it. We just kind of, I mean, it was obviously huge news, and we just kind of skipped over it.
How do you know about that? The fray, you're out of the ecosystem, and you don't even read the Twitters.
Because somebody mentioned it on Signal, and so just was like, I looked out.
He's got days.
He's got an ICF tattoo on his kazoo.
our boys Mags and Barry are like big time now.
Yeah, that's good.
So they're the big dogs.
So Interchain Foundation, Cosmos' leading development organization, announced Tuesday that it's acquiring blockchain solutions provider Skip, now rebranded as Interchain Inc. decentralized.
So does that mean they no longer skip at all?
I think so. Skip would go. I mean, assuming it's an acquisition, they can make a decision whether or not Skip goes or not. But since it said being rebranded as Interchain Inc., my guess is that they are now an operations arm of the Interchain Foundation. So Interchain Inc., and I would assume Skip is gone.
But why does the Interchain Foundation want to acquire Skip? Surely the ecosystem is more decentralized if Skip is Skip.
That is a good question. I think that might be a mix of both optics, branding, and I don't think that strategy has worked. Right? So maybe it's time for a little in-house unified direction and not make it purely foundational, hey, we're going to just determine where the money goes. And I think, I mean, honestly, it's a good thing for the Interchain Foundation, right? This is like, they need some operational shakeup for sure. So I don't know. Maybe that doesn't necessarily mean it has to go all, doesn't mean the pendulum has to swing all the way the other way, right? There's still, yeah. Obviously, there's still,
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for the Interchain Foundation. I guess it's just we're operationally a bit useless. All this decentralization business is pretty hard to keep a track of. What if we centralized?
I think there's two different things. One is being a foundation. I think the process of giving money and grants to outside teams, in my eyes, is a lot harder than having employees.
Oh, for sure.
And having groups that are responsible, that you have direction over, around timelines, around deliverables, around structure. And most, I think, we talked about this many times, but I think in this ecosystem knows how to fucking give money away. Zero.
Sure. But then this is also like, we are not building enterprises in this
bullshit
fucking mess. No, we're not. We're like crypto coins are this weird pseudo debt mechanism that people can YOLO away. They can rewrite. They can slash you one day. They can take it back the next day. It's just this whatever, man. It's as ephemeral as you like, right? We're playing around with this fast and loose debt medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the idea that you can have debt or credit without serious counterparty risk and uncertainty is like whatever, man. Like the whole ecosystem, like foundationally, is built on a primitive that implies very large counterparty exposure to risk. And so, and this is like, besides the fact that most stuff fails in tech anyway. So I think you're right. And we've talked about it a lot, that the way that funding is done in a super weird way. It's quite often very nepotistic. It's quite often very corrupt.
Well, I think usually most of those individuals have no understanding of how to be able to be in that role. Like, they're not VCs.
And for sure. Well, no, exactly. But then I think the problem is also, though, that there's a tension between, yes, it's very, very hard to do those things. And then it's very comparatively easier to handle employees or a contract or blah, blah, blah. But it's like the honesty of saying, if you have a situation where your counterparty may not deliver,
yeah,
you're exposed to some form of risk. If you have a situation where you can't even guarantee that your counterparty is doing the work that they say they might do, then mm-hmm. that's like a completely different thing. And I use these examples because they're on a continuum of actual decentralization, by which I mean delegated decision making, right? Because on some level, even when you're nuts and bolts, right, people building software, they're making a bunch of decisions on your behalf to bring something to market, right? You give mm-hmm. them money to delegate a bunch of decisions about making some software, and that mm-hmm. software one day will launch or it won't. And the extent to which they are empowered and delegated to deliver that is on a continuum. One is where you look over their shoulder every day. They're an employee. One is where you have a counterparty agreement. You check up on the phone every week, every day, whatever. And then one of them is you give them the money in tranches. It kind of happens or it doesn't. Or, and then right at the far end is you hand over some money. Maybe something happens or whatever. And, mm-hmm. And in the context where we have these systems that imply a lot of exposure to debt and to risk and whatnot, and in these systems that are supposed to, now they're not, we know they're not, and this podcast, in fact, is evidence that they're not, these systems are supposed to be low trust, or they're supposed to be operable in a low trust or even a no trust environment. We obviously sure. would probably disagree with that, and this podcast is a pretty good example. And actually, you know, the guests we have on here and the way we've run things for the last couple of years kind of shows that it's not really that environment. But that's what the marketing is. And you go, well, okay, it comes down to honesty, right? Which is that how you structure the way that you delegate your building of infrastructure, in this case, software, mm-hmm. is related to your opinions. You're voting with your feet on whether or not this really is the thing advertised, right? Is mm-hmm. it a delegated, decentralized system? Is it low trust? Is it zero trust? Is it robust to a centralized actor? All these sorts of things. And like, look, I know we know to some extent that all of that is a bit of theater. It's a bit of a fiction in its current form. But it is worth saying, you know, it is worth saying because these...
I don't understand what your point is, though. What's the point?
My point is that, like, by bringing things in house, you're just centralizing. You're just centralizing, and it's completely on a number of axes, which is like what we're doing here, what trust is, what decentralization is, and also just like an understanding of like what the point of peer-to-peer assets are. It feels like you're trying to amortize a risk that you can only amortize by not running these systems in the way that they were designed. And that's fine. You can do that. And that's what we're doing as an industry.
I don't think it makes any difference, dude. Honestly.
Do you not?
Like, I don't. I think that foundation is still the foundation, which means it can clear cut and dump this group as soon as they want to, right? Like there's still some structure there in terms of they might have owner, they might have board seats, they might have other types of stuff, and depending, I assume they still have ownership of the board. I do think that whether or not I think that team is more effective in this role than they are externally, number one. So I think they're able to be able, like, even what they've done with like Skip Go or some of the overall bridging and trying to reduce friction and those types of things, if that comes from Cosmos as a chain or the ICF as a group, I think that's far more valuable to the ecosystem than Skip as a third party in that ecosystem. I think it's better branding. It looks better to other chains who want to integrate with Cosmos. I think it's just a more professional way. And you can look at the other teams we work with, like look at Aptos. I know that you would consider them as extremely centralized, but I also think they're a great operations team that knows how to ship, that knows how to deliver and push boundaries forward. And you can shit on it because from a decentralization perspective, but they're moving faster and this is a competitive spot. And I think unless you're in a situation that you're not moving faster in a competitive, all this is going away. Like it's all going to die, right? Especially on like the ICF and these types of things. They're already headed that way. So yeah. From a get things done perspective, this makes a shitload of sense. And I'd rather have a useful ICF in a small centralized way than what we've had, which has been literally just, we just made fun of it in the show for the last year, right? And it's circling the drain because the only reason the hub is even still a thing is because it was first and there was a significant amount of cash influx into the token, right? And without that, it would have done nothing. And now what you have is now we've added WASM. You have them competing against, like, it's such a shitty strategy. You have them, like, competing against their own consumer chains. Like, it was just, they're trying to find a vision for what this is. And I think the hub as a vision might not be any clearer, but the Interchain foundation or the idea of building strategy at a much higher level, I think is a little bit more clear. So I don't know. I mean, again, like it, I also think that I think it was Ramen's thread or somebody on Twitter said something along the lines of, I think it was Ramen's Twitter thread. I'll find it. I'll put the link in the show notes, but I think he had something along the lines of like, will the ICF Foundation crush this team or will this team break through and, you know, continue to add value? And I think my response was something along the lines of like, I've always felt that like teams that have strong engineering who ship, who are honest in their ways always win over time. But that power of ego and stupidity and those types of things, like they win a lot too. So we'll see on, again, this is another great thing that's going to happen for next year too. I think this is actually pretty cool. I also think for all the stuff that Mags and Barry do, both in this ecosystem and their ability to work outside of this ecosystem, I mean, that's a great team that we obviously worked with close with, you know, with stuff on the Oracle side and even in the older days with the MEV product and all that kind of stuff. Like, we have a huge amount of respect for this team. They are true believers in Cosmos. You got to give them that. Like, they could have done anything in here. Like, I think they could have played a huge role in any ecosystem, but they are all in. And this is a good example of that. I think I'm interested to see how this conversation started. Maybe we can get him on, have him come back on and talk about how this whole idea started, because it'd be interesting to know brought this up.
It would be great to get him on and chew the fat about it for sure. Like, I mean, I think the thing is like it from a purely shipping features perspective. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a good thing for the Cosmos ecosystem.
Yeah.
But I think my wider point is that there's just I have a deep frustration or maybe fatigue with the lack of original thinking around how you can fund, how you can manage products and projects and bring use cases to life, right? And I think that it's kind of back to, again, we talked about this a lot, right? Which is like, you know, what's the jumping off point of responsibility for a core team who may be working on a blockchain without, you know, the substrate above it or whatever? Like, what's their role in product development? And it's like, well, pretty crucial, really. Like, it's the whole ball game, really, because, you know, I don't know. I think at this point we've got Ethereum, right, which is like a kind of general purpose compute engine, and it has some use cases, right? And some of them are actually use cases that might continue, all other things being equal, and some of them will gradually die off in time, right? And
sure,
most the real question is like, you know, what is the dominant paradigm from here going to be, you know, single global shared state on one or two large blockchains for very comparatively small simple pieces of code, or is it going to be vertical stacks like, you know, AppChain Thesis or blah 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 blah? Like, what is all of this stuff going to look like? And the technology side of that is like, whatever, man. The economics, the project management, the product management, the product vision, those are the things that are lacking, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
And so I guess like, yeah, like obviously no shade and skip. Obviously, I think, for all the reasons you said, this is a bullish thing. It's a good thing for Cosmos. But it's like, I just cannot shake the disappointment that an ecosystem of blockchains, of application specific blockchains, didn't manage to innovate anything, anything more important around how to do product, how to bring liquidity, right, or how to launch any actual use cases. Because we're still at the point
where we are.
Well, no, this is the point. We launched, 83 production blockchains in the Cosmos ecosystem. It's one of the widest interop I believe, according to was it Kaliskan's ontology of blockchains, Cosmos is one of the, if not the widest deployed generation three blockchain technology that is interoperable. Its primary purpose is interchain operability technology. Yeah. And yet, have we had a novel killer app, a killer use case for it that cannot be done elsewhere?
Yeah, but again, like I don't think Skip is. That's not
job. No,
that's not their job.
I know.
They are a product team though, but yeah, those products have been primarily infrastructure/usability perspective to still enable use cases, right? Like they're solving problems that I don't know if I should say this. They're solving tough problems that probably shouldn't exist. Is a good way of saying it, right? Like just what they've done on the bridging side. Those are tough problems that are just a byproduct of the technology and shouldn't exist anyway. And once those are gone, which they will go away, your point is still now we have this beautiful running car and no place to go. Right. Like that's yeah. But again, like that's not, I don't know if that, and that I don't think is the ICF's issue either.
I think the difficulty there, right, is that I think anybody who's worked in industry for a period of time, especially anybody who cares about code quality or doing things well, or especially if you have an interest in like ESOLANGs or anything like that, and you've tried to build anything genuinely quite ambitious, there's a good chance that at some point you built something that was like a Lamborghini, or at the very least maybe like a decent sports car, and you've handed it over to a client or launched it in an enterprise environment and realized that, you know, yeah, it's dead on arrival. And this has been a year, 2 years of your time and your team's time building something genuinely quite powerful and impressive that is just so wide of the mark for reasons that are not the thing that you were building. And that's par for the course, right? In technology, a lot of projects miss the mark. A lot of them end up going out behind the barn, you know?
Yeah.
But in the industry environment, it's a lot easier to be like, whatever, that big company wasted £2 million of R&D, didn't go anywhere. They're going to write that off on their annual statement. Everybody in those teams got paid. You know, they're going to go drink some pints down the pub and go, what a shame about that project. And the local economy will benefit, right? Like, yeah. There's something like a little bit more just like, that's capitalism, about a big company fucking up like that. There's something like a little bit more of a bummer about blockchains doing disingenuous stuff, because at the end of the day, like there are a lot of people holding the bag for it that aren't big companies with big pockets.
That's right.
And I think that's kind of part of the other thing, right? Is that the risk thing isn't, there's something.
Yeah. You're right.
There's something about the way the risk is shared, which isn't also like, and we're a part of that as well, because we hold in some ways more risk a lot of the time, but then we also hope get more benefit. And actually, by the time you've done the rodeo of a blockchain that's been semi-successful a couple of times, sorry, I need to stop mumbling, you know, our risk as businesses is probably lower than the average investor, like in the aggregate. And so it's again back to like, I'm sure the Interchain Foundation, and this is again no shade on them, but like, or any foundation really, like a lot of these foundations are not coming from nowhere, or a lot of these teams, and you know they're not, they might be risking more absolute dollars on the table, but they're not risking more in the aggregate than what they can afford, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why the way in which these crypto economies we're building are structured, or how they're thought out in terms of like the responsibility of a product as well, is like, it is important. It's a shame, because it's another thing that I kind of hope Cosmos would push the needle on a little bit, but we haven't. I mean, but then that's, you know, that's what are you going to do? 3 years of a bear market. We're not going to come up with any novel new ways of bootstrapping liquidity, are we?
Yeah, I agree with you that the market doesn't help in that situation either, right? Like I totally understand that.
Yeah, but I mean we're so dependent on the external economy that it's kind of like we're just playing we're just playing with toy money over here, aren't we? Like, by comparison.
Well, but I think the comparison is correct. Like, the idea, like, Apple threw away, what, like 20 or 30 billion on their car thing. And then somebody else just got out of it too. Was it the combination GM one? Somebody put in like 20 or 30 billion on self-driving cars and just walked away from it. And that technology will get used in some sort of small situations, but like Apple putting 20 billion into the fucking Vision Pro and selling 1,000 of them. But you're right. I don't necessarily feel bad. I mean, that is capitalism, and you want to have companies take risks, right? And you want to try to see some of those types of situations that occur. And you can, however, those losses are not based off of people buying into a make-believe token that got generated out of thin air, right? Hoping for an increase to be able to sell it at some point in the future, right? It's that money in those organizations, it's shareholder money. That money did come from sales of objects, so there was value that was changed. But yeah, I do think that which is going back to our original point, which is like, it's difficult to be able to be in a situation where you have funds coming in, where you have a foundation that is selling off or, you know, providing liquidity associated to a token that's putting that money into the hands of project teams when they do not have the skill set to know how to manage and build contracts and structures around that. Because you're right, that money's not like, hey, we're making all this money by selling all these type of things. Like, that's directly related to the tokenomics. And I think it's much harder to do that when in those situations. And I agree that I just don't think there's a ton of teams that do that really well. Some teams doing pretty decent, but there's a bunch that just kind of just keep throwing shit at the wall.
Like, yeah. And, you know, think about how comparatively good, like, the tooling for funding and management and whatnot is, like DAO and stuff like that. They're, like, way, way better than a lot of the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know the technology, the state of the art in other ecosystems has, in a lot of cases, caught up now. Like, but, you know, DAO was very impressive when it came out, still impressive. And, you know, it turns out that all of the problems that were the hardest about that funding story were all the ones of organization, coordination, vetting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's nothing like
it wasn't releasing funds once a month.
No, it's not. It's not funding operations. Funding operations is like you want to provide visibility to that. Like those are, I mean, honestly, stuff like DAO, like those are nice to haves after you have a real strong structure of how you're doing grant and team management and objective, you know, and how, like percent complete and like associated risks. And like after you have a real structure, then you can put that into a tool set. But like just because I want to, if I have 20 million tokens to give, you know, to be able to structure and some sort of grant, just because I have an operational platform to do it, it still means I could be a fucking moron at it.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of the, I saw recently, like, this was in research land. I saw something to do with like fractionalization of, music royalties, and it was like, this is a great use case, it's a cracking use case. And I was like, yeah, I mean, the average like small to mid indie band playing festival stages, you could fractionalize their royalties and round it up to one pence, you know,
right?
Like, the problem that you've identified is not a problem.
It's like, not really the issue.
They're trying to survive, and the whole of that band is bringing in what one junior dev is in a year in royalties, if that. Like, you know, the problems that involve financial technology, a lot of them where they do maybe could use a new primitive, it will be an extraordinarily simple primitive. Like, a lot of the stuff that's actually being experimented with, as I understand it, in terms of efficiency gains and whatnot, is like very, very simple stuff, or it's like being able to do stuff out of hours and track it on a ledger or whatever, or track it publicly. These are all like, the technology is not the hard part. It's just there's just some tiny missing 2% that the technology can give. And all of the hard stuff is implementation, understanding of the market, knowing the market opportunity is there, talking to the regulator, making sure it's legal, finding the capital to run it, finding the people to fill out the paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And and that's like one side of the world, which is like the B2B, the kind of fintechy kind of angle of it. And then there's like, okay, and then there's all of this like financial technology overlay, like I guess like the royalties example or whatever, where you're creating new derivatives on top of things. And so many of the new derivatives on top of things is just stuff where if somebody said in the TradFi world, yeah, we're going to take artist royalties for record sales and we're going to make it a fractional derivative, people would be like, I'm sorry, you seem to have mistaken us for people that play with very small amounts of money. This is a bank. We make fractional derivatives for things worth billions of dollars, not things worth fucking nothing because they're music royalties. And so like the thing, just because something's P2P doesn't, and just because something's P2P and just because something might be quite small value doesn't suddenly mean blockchain is going to solve it, because blockchain's cost of transmission is quite high. And there's a whole bunch of other assumptions that come with it. What you're really talking about is payments at that point. And you're like, again, people have been trying to solve micropayments for 40 years since the internet came along. And we might solve that, but it's maybe not going to be with a blockchain. I don't know. I mean, I'm betting it is going to involve a blockchain in some way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be working on blockchains and payments. But it's by no means a given, because you can just do it with a fucking normal database.
By no means a given.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because all of the people you need on board to make the fucking thing work, they're all running Postgres or Cassandra or whatever. And they're kind of like, well, you know, yeah, maybe a blockchain could work in here somewhere, but like, is it really necessary? And you're like, no, probably not.
No, no.
Probably not. And not one that anybody needs to ever know is a blockchain anyway. So,
right. That's probably more likely, right? Yeah. Like it is, but nobody knows it. or it's just repackaged into something else that doesn't have this connotation or a connotation or like some sort of, you know, is that the same thing that we use to funnel funds around from bad? No, it's not. It's
we totally need to have different. When we do the when I know we're not all doing all the same conferences because we're all gonna be in different places, although I think most of us are going to be, apart from Null, going to be at ECC in the summer, but live Game of Nodes filming, maybe. Mm. We need like a sweepstakes on each conference, first time that somebody gets pitched real estate on the blockchain.
Oh, dude.
It's like 2 seconds after you walk into a conference, isn't it? It's the first person who's standing around in a suit looking awkward, and they're like, I thought I'd come down and check out what's going on. This isn't my day job. I don't work in this industry, but I work in real estate.
let's fractionalize real estate on the blockchain.
Let's fractionalize real estate. You're like, and what would be the benefit to me as the property owner? Well, you can raise capital. I couldn't do that with the bank as well. Yeah, but listen here, and you're like, I've asked a question. I shouldn't have asked a question. I should have immediately excused myself.
But decentralized.
But
I mean, fractionalization of assets now is like the thing to do in apps, right? There's like apps now for fractionalizing ownership of fucking cars for, you know, like investments and art. And
Art is,
I don't know about property though. I don't think that one's like played out yet.
I do it with art.
Do you? Which application do you use for purchasing your fractionalized art?
I don't know if I want to say. You're just gonna make fun of me.
Is it one that's like spoofed by a particular Aussie who talks about economics?
I don't think so.
Mr. Economics Man? No.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you're talking about Economics Explained?
Yeah, he's always fucking shilling this fractionalized. Fucking
Which one is he shill?
I can't remember the name of it.
No.
If you say it, I'll know.
I don't remember.
Let me check. I don't remember.
Let me check. I have no fucking clue.
I think I did it 5 years ago, something like that. 5 or 6 years ago. So nothing sold.
I bought a bank.
So right now it's just a sink. Well, I mean, in my defense.
In my defense,
I believe in diversification of funds and assets. So
really,
yeah,
fuck,
I do.
Man, I'm just
not crazy, right?
On the one thing.
And most people are all in on the one thing. I think people who listen to the show and people who are doing it are at least have at least two things. Right.
I went all in on bug catching nets. There's a local manufacturer.
Dogs hanging on fences. So I looked at a lot of different areas that had diversification in terms of assets, and that one came up as something that was, and it's, I don't have a lot, like it's very small. So, but it was like one of those things, like, oh, what the hell, let's try it. Like, that's a good diversification of assets. So real estate's one of those, right? Obviously, which is probably the best of all of those. And then the market, obviously diversification there, and then blockchain. And then what else is there? Like, there's some other things out there too, because I've talked to Schultz about this too, but there's other things out there that are other vehicles that do exist. And all of those are good for, there's a bunch of those.
Precious metals.
Not so much that, but there is another one that's around, which exists, is there's larger funds that exist that might have assets in apartments or large commercial or apartment, like not just an apartment building, but like hundreds of apartment buildings, right? Self-storage is a big one here in the US. It's a huge market around that. And so you have equity firms that buy fuck tons of real estate, like self-storage, right? So say there's a few of them in the US that might own 50% of the self-storage in the US. Okay. So, which means they have hundreds of millions and like millions of that piece. And then they want to have investors because they want to go buy more self-storage and they want to return to that. But they don't want a huge cap table, right? So they'll say, hey, the minimum to invest in our fund is 5 million USD, or it's 10 million USD, or it's 50 million USD. So then there's people that come up in the middle of there to say, I don't have 50 million, but I'm going to run a small fund here, which is basically just a fractional, and I'm going to buy 50 million. But behind me, I'm going to have one to X number of investors, right? That are part of that 50 million. I'll handle all that. We will vote as one. It's one thing. And those groups say, okay, then they'll draw up legal things to make sure that none of those people have any rights. Like, they're all fucking peons, right? They have nothing. But they do vote as one. And then they might have a call, and they have risk of calls because sometimes they don't take all the money up front. They might take 20% up front. They do a call later, but maybe some of those people don't have the money later. Like, there's all these issues that come in with that. Those things do exist. Perfect real world asset blockchain use cases. Fucking 100%. And actually, there was one that launched a little bit ago. Someone with a bird in its name. Do you guys remember that? Sparrow, somebody in the comments know what that one is. And they were doing not in those exact use cases, but they were doing loans, I think.
But what does a blockchain add to, like, the example that you've just given, where they go like, right, we're going to buy $50 million worth.
Yeah.
We'll organize it.
Yeah.
Other than being able to potentially just wash your hands.
So, I'll tell you exactly.
Please do.
Yeah. Yeah. The visibility from my perspective is I might have a contract. I might have an agreement. I might have a place to send funds. I might receive quarterly updates. I might receive quarterly dividends. I might get Excel spreadsheets over and over and over of percentage ownership, how much funds actually came back from that fund down to the LLC, and how that get distributed. I'm trusting 100% of that. I see Excels. I have no way of validating that. Do I see the payment coming in? I don't see the payment coming in. Do I know I have 0.0024%? Maybe. I'm trusting that. So from an investor perspective, and do I know that my money made it out there? Do I know they pulled 100%? I get told those things. Do I see that information? No, I don't see that information. Right? Like, I get reports back. But all of that, there's fraud there, and the reason these things are they're pretty heavily regulated too, because the ability to fraud in those situations is pretty fucking large. Like, if Noel and I came up and we want to make something to go to one of these firms and say, hey, we're going to pull in, you know, 250 people and we're going to try to raise $10 million or $20 million to put into this, could we raise more than that? Could we say that firm only wants a call of 50%. So Noel and I take the other 50% and put it into something else and just hope that it works out and earn the fucking interest off that like fucking crazy, and then take that money and when the call comes in, just pay it off as well as we can, or go raise another fund to go pay that. There's like fucking tons of opportunities for fraud in this situation. So that ability for one of those groups to be able to go raise that huge amount of money to go, you know, do capitalistic type shit, but to have individuals participate in that and not go through, you know, and from that perspective, if that group wanted to raise $250 million, if it was better structured, they wouldn't need only 10 investors. Like they could do more with more individuals in those situations and those types of things. So I think that for part of RWAs and that idea of being able to take previously unobtainable investment or buying opportunities and open up that to a larger market is pretty cool. That part is pretty cool. That part I get. And is blockchain the only answer to that? Right? No, it's not. Just like your payment situation. Does it kind of fit the mold a little bit? Yeah, it fits the mold a little bit. Like, it kind of works. I'm trying to remember what the hell that name was. Like Sparrow or some shit? Somebody tried this. It was a couple of years ago. And then I applied for it. And then they said no. I forget why. I don't know why. Maybe they wanted more information I was willing to give or something like that. I forget what the hell it was. It's not Sparrow. It was it's some fucking bird though. I'll find it and put it in the show notes, but it's actually pretty cool. But I think they were working up towards this, and I think they started with like, they were starting with like micro loans type of thing. Like somewhere, it wasn't micro. It was like under 50,000 USD and, with terms, and then people repaid the loan and then it came back to the chain. Something like that. I forget what the hell it was. It was actually pretty cool. I just never did it. It was really, and it was, I think they were really well funded too. Anyway, that
I can,
maybe 2025 would be a thing.
Yeah. I can see that.
It's just, there's nothing specifically blockchain around it that is, it's a good tool for that. That's all. That's it. That's all it is. It's like, refi, it's
we, what is it? It's refi adjacent, by mom's it's adjacent, house. It's adjacent to a good tool for it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's not there.
Like none of the current. Well, I mean, well, I guess you can just write whatever you want, right? What you kind of really want is a.